Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. So there's our disciple. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall where to sit down together, Peter sat among them. So here our disciple is. They've taken Jesus. They've arrested him. They've taken him away to crucify him. And Peter's following afar off, paying close attention. He's trying to disguise himself. But then verse 56 says, "But a certain maid, a lady, beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said that this man was also with him." So a lady looked at him by the fire and said, "Hey, you were with Jesus. I remember your face." And then look what he says. And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." Strong word there, woman in the Greek. In verse 58, and he said, "After a little while, another saw him." Another individual saw him and said, "Thou art also with him." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." So two people now are just getting upset. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidentially affirmed, saying of the truth, "This fellow also with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now what happened? Here Peter is. He denies Jesus. He sins against the Lord. He lets the Lord down. Look at verse 61. And the Bible says, "And the Lord turned and looked unto Peter," upon Peter. "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Tonight, I want us to finish this thing on Peter about learning from a Christian, as a Christian, how to deal with failures in our life. Let's pray together. Father, help us tonight. Lord Jesus, if there's any area in our life tonight that we need help and understanding and clarity, it is this area of us sinning against you. And Lord, our flesh is so prone to go away from you and so prone to slowly and gradually walk away from the Christ that we love in our hearts. And God, our flesh gets the best of us at times. And we let up and we do things, Lord, and we hurt you. And we sin against our God and our Father. And Lord, teach us tonight how to deal with this in our life and what it means to us as we look at the life of Peter. And help us, Jesus, this evening. We ask this in your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'd mentioned last week, I started this thing on the life of Peter and how Peter was the brother of Andrew, was a fisherman, and he's probably the most popular disciple of the 12 because of his life and how much he is mentioned in the Word. No doubt he was one of the most important, in our eyes anyway, of the church fathers, the establishment of the New Testament church. But as we looked at his life, there was one thing about Peter that all of us could resonate with, and that was this, that Peter as a Christian failed his God, he sinned to his God, against his God at times in his life as a Christian. Now, how many of you feel a whole lot better about yourself knowing that this apostle did the same thing? Amen? And it is a breath of fresh air to know that God does not expect us to be perfect. He knows we cannot be perfect, and neither was Peter. And we learned several things about our failures and sin against the Lord last week. Number one, in review, we learned that Christians do not desire or plan failure. You remember in Mark chapter number 14, after communion, Jesus told them they would be offended and turn away, and Peter said, "Not I, Lord. I'll die before I sin against you." And by the way, I know I preached on it this morning, I preached on it last Sunday night, and I don't know why the Lord's leaving, but I just want to mention it again. As a Christian, our heart's desire is not to sin against our God. If I'm right about it, say amen. But it's the truth. The reality is there's people out there say, "Hey, Christians live in sin like everybody else, my friend." The Bible does not teach us that. He saves us, he regenerates us, and he puts us on a different path and constantly working in our life. And so number one, last week, Christians do not desire or plan failure in their life. And then last week, number two, I made this simple statement. Christians are going to fail. Christians are going to fail. And if you remember, we talked about Peter last week. We pointed out five times he sinned. There were others in the New Testament. These relate to us. First of all, in Matthew 14, he sinned in his faith. In Mark 14, he failed in the spiritual discipline to pray when Jesus commanded him to pray, and he went to sleep and took a nap. In Mark 14, 72, he failed by cussing. And we talk about, by the way, I just want to interject this here. Cussing among Christians today is more gave into fear pressure in Galatians chapter 2. And we looked at those last week, that we don't desire to sin, but we are going to fail in our life. And by the way, the Apostle Paul had, he had this thorn in the flesh that kept him humble before the Lord. And sometimes God will use our sins that trigger us to keep us humble before Him. But tonight, I want to look at this third thing tonight, and I want you to get a hold of this. When a Christian sins, what happens? Number three tonight, I want you to write this down. When a Christian sins, Christians are easily forgiven by their Father. They are easily forgiven by their Father. What do you mean by that, Brother Joey? We just looked at it here in our text, but you remember when Peter realized what he did. He had been sitting around that fire for an hour, we know. And after he realized what he did, he looked across the way and Jesus looked him in his eyes. Now, I don't know what this looked like. I know this. I don't think that Jesus looked at Peter and was like one of those things. I think it was more of a hurtful Peter look to Peter. And Jesus was looking at Peter and said, Peter, you just did what I warned you about. I told you, Peter, that this was going to happen to you. You didn't keep your guard up. And Peter, you sinned against me. And I think it was that kind of look. And Peter looked at him. I mean, and Jesus looked at Peter and watched this. What did Peter do? The Bible says in verse 62, look with me if you will, verse 62. The Bible says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, what's the picture here of weep bitterly? It doesn't mean he went out and felt sorry that he sinned, but rather he was broken and said, oh God, I cannot believe that I did this. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for what I did to you as my Father. And the Bible says, think about this. If you're still with me, say amen tonight. The Bible never mentions God questioning him again on this or dangling it over his head.
That's right.
And I want to tell you tonight as a Christian, there's some of you sitting in this building tonight, you've sinned against the Lord, you've failed the Lord, you've let the Lord down in your life, at times in your life, and tonight you feel like so insecure in your life because you feel like I can never be for God what God saved me to be for Him. Listen to me tonight, my friend. I don't care what your sin was. If you come clean with God, and you got right with God, and you have confessed your sin to God, He has forgiven you of that sin, and He will never bring it up against you again. Why? Because it is under the blood. Somebody say amen tonight. And I want to say this tonight in your life as a Christian. Many times Christians walk around and feel defeated because of a sin that you committed in your past. I want to be very careful right here. I want to say this though. Sometimes Christians struggle with sins in their past because they've never dealt with it. And until you deal with it, it's going to haunt you the rest of your Christian life. You say, Brother Joey, what does that mean? Here's what it means. There's something in your life that you've been hiding for years. And understand tonight, you've got to get out from under that sin. You say, Brother Joey, I'm afraid of what's going to happen. My friend, you should be afraid of what's going to happen if you don't. Because if you come to Christ, listen to this, if you come to your Savior tonight and you seek forgiveness for your sin as His Son that you have committed against Him, He will forgive you. He will embrace you. He will cleanse you. He will heal you in your soul. And when you make it right with Him, that sin is gone. And I like this. He will never, listen, He will never bring it up in your life again. If it comes up, it's because the devil did. Jesus didn't do it because it's over. But I want to ask a theological question tonight, all right? If you're still breathing, say amen. Because a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, you hear Christians say this, or I hear preachers say this, Baptist preachers a lot, and I'm a Baptist preacher. If a person got saved, when you got saved, you were justified. You turned from your sin, you came to Christ, you didn't continue to live in sin, now Christ is your Savior in your life. He forgave all of your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. You have been justified in Christ just as if you never sinned. If you're following me, say go ahead.
Amen.
And here's what you're stating in here. Jesus has already paid for your sins. You don't need to ask Him to forgive you for anything. And that's confusing. Because as a Christian, that's a good question. Because if I'm justified in my sin, if I came to Christ and He saved me and He forgave my sins, and as long as I'm believing in Christ, as long as I'm in Christ, I am secure in Christ because of my faith in Christ, not because of the decision I made, not because I died in line I signed, not because I got baptized, but because I'm in faith in Christ and I'm abiding in being saved? He is my judge. What do you mean? I quoted it this morning. Let me quote it again. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What does that mean? Here's what it means. If you're in this building tonight, I don't care if you're religious, you've been to church, you've been baptized. If you don't know Christ and you die without Christ, you are going to live in the wrath of God forever. Why? Because of your sin. Yes, Jesus died for you. He rose for you. He can save you. But because you have rejected Christ and chose sin over Christ, you will die and go to hell and experience the wrath of God forever. Why? Because He is your judge. But now watch this. When I come to Him as a sinner, I come to my judge. Oh, but when I come to Him as a Christian, I come to Him as my parent. Hold it, everybody. You see, when we get saved, my sin, my past, present, future, they're settled in Christ. They're over with. But understand tonight, my sin as a Christian affects my fellowship with my Father. And now my fellowship with my Father has been broken, and I feel like I'm not even saved. Why? Because I have sinned against my daddy. I have sinned against my spiritual father. And while I might be saved, I feel unsaved. Why? Because I sinned against my Father. And as a Christian, when we sin against our Father, I come to Him as my merciful Father, not as my wrath-filled judge, because that has been settled in salvation. But now as a Christian, when you sin against God, you have hurt your fellowship with God. And that's why we feel like we're not His children. If you're following me, say amen. Here's a passage to fill you in on that. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 5 through 11 teaches us that when we sin, you don't get this condition. When we sin, our Heavenly Father takes off His belt. That's what it says. And He begins to chasten us. And He begins to whoop us. And you know what I think the picture is? Until we break, He whoops us walking in the house. He whoops us getting out of bed. He whoops us walking out the door. He whoops us at work. He whoops us walking around church. And what's He doing? He's just chasing us and chasing us and chasing us because He's mad. No, He's not mad. His heart is broken. We've sinned against Him, and He is our Father. And He's just whooping us, and He's just whooping us. And He's waiting for us as a son to come back to Him and say, God, I'm so sorry. I did wrong, Lord. I sinned against You. And Lord, I'm sorry. And the Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, watch this. If we confess our sins, agree with Him about our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. And tonight, Christian, you sin. And you agree with Him. That means you see it for what it is. You repent because you see it just the way God sees it. In your heart, when you see God, I am sorry. He is faithful to forgive. Amen. How many of you are so glad that if you sinned against God as a Christian and you've been to Him in brokenness, He ain't got it wrote down on the sticky note on the side of His bed saying, I'm going to let Him off the hook right now, but when He does something else bad, I'm going to pull this back up. Right. It's gone. He has nullified it. Why? Because He is our Father. And when we sin against Him as a Christian, understand we do have to go to God. We do have to ask Him to forgive us. If we didn't have to ask Him to forgive us, then why does the Bible say as a Christian, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to for what? Give us in our life. Why does the Bible say He will forgive us as Christians if we don't need it? I'll tell you why. Because our fellowship has been broken. And as a Christian tonight, when you sin against God, here's what our flesh says. Here's what the devil says. And by the way, here's what religion says. You got to do 14 things to get back in good standing with God. My friend, if you come to God and you come to Him in brokenness over your sin, you hurt your Father. You disappointed your Father. You disobeyed your Father. When you confess that sin, He forgives us. And then He is over. If you're thankful for that night, say amen. Amen. But I like this. Stay with me. Number one tonight, that I mentioned last week and I reiterated this week. Number one, Christians do not desire to sin. Number two, Christians are going to fail. Number three, Christians are evil. was the most vocal of the disciples. He knew that. He also knew that Peter was the most zealous of the disciples and most eager, but he also knew he would be the one that failed the most. Because a lot of religions teach that Jesus, that Peter, here was the first pope. Listen, Peter was married and had a mother-in-law. He's off the list right there. Amen? A pope can't have that, right? But a lot of people look at this and say, hey, Jesus said, Peter, you're the pope. He didn't. Jesus is getting ready. Now think about this. He's just a couple weeks away from turning his ministry, or a couple months, to turning his ministry over to these men. And he gets them all together in Matthew 16. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The Bible says this. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch this. Here Jesus is. He's got all the disciples in front of him. He looks at Peter. Please watch me, because you notice a play on words and hands here. He says, thou art Peter, little rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. He said, you're a little part, Peter, of what I'm going to do. I am the rock. Thou art Peter, small rock, and upon this rock, foundational rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, Peter, you're the pope. He looked at him and said, thou art Peter, little rock. Upon this rock I'll build my church. So what did Jesus say? And then in Matthew chapter 18, say with me, follow me right here now. In Matthew chapter 18, same group of guys, he reiterates it to them again. He says the same thing again, except he leaves out Peter. And then, follow him. Go down the road. Peter gets down the road. He's growing in his faith. He's becoming the leader of the apostles. And what happens? When Jesus is taken away, Peter fails the Lord. He denies Christ. And the Bible says, listen to this, after they took Jesus, then the 12 disciples, not the 11 disciples, they spread like roaches. They went all over the place. Why? They didn't know what to do. They didn't have a leader. But Peter followed afar off. Once he got there, he was watching Jesus be crucified. You remember what happened? As he sinned against the Lord, he caught eyes with Jesus and he looked at Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, and the Bible says he went out as a Christian and he wept bitterly. Now, here's where we are. If you're still with me so far, say amen. Here Peter is. He's denied Jesus Christ. He's sinned against the Lord. He's went and sought for forgiveness. And here's what happens. We don't hear anything else from Peter. Why? Maybe he's like some of you sitting in this building. He felt insecure. I can no longer be what God wanted me to be. He told me in Matthew 16 that I would be part of his church, and now I've sinned against him and denied him. And what can I do for my God now? Hey, and humanly speaking, you look at Peter and say, Peter, you blew it. You were supposed to be one of the founding fathers of the church. You let your God down. Peter, you sinned against God. And hey, I'm telling you tonight, man, when you sin against the Lord, even if you get right with God and you get it forgiven and under the blood, your fellowship restored, the devil will come to you and tell you, you can never be what God wants you to be because you sinned against him. If I'm right about it, say amen. I'm telling you, that's how he plays. That's how the devil plays. And sir, tonight, that's where you are in your life. The devil has come to you and convinced you you're no good to God because you were saved and you messed up and you didn't do what God wants you to do. But hey, if you've been forgiven, bless God, you've been forgiven tonight. Somebody said amen. Well, watch what Jesus does. Jesus knew this. How do you know he knew it? Look in Mark chapter 16. I want to show you a conversation, by the way. A lot of times, we need to read the Bible as a whole picture and look at it in context. I want to tell you this. I'm going to let you get there and I'm going to show you how I think this went down. I think, this is my opinion. This is my what? I'm telling you that, so when I stand before God and say, God, I did my best on this, but I got to fill in the gaps for you. Here's what I think happened. I think Jesus knew what Peter was struggling with. I'll tell you why I think. We're going to read it. Just say it. I think Jesus knew how Peter was struggling as a Christian and following the Lord and obeying the Lord and being used by him again because as a Christian, he was supposed to be the leader and he failed God. And now here he was after he denied the Lord. Could God ever use him again? And here's what I think happened. I think, my opinion, that somewhere Jesus and God the Father had a conversation with the angels and said, listen, God wanted to help me. afternoon, and I'm going to be gone, and it's going to rock her world. And when we get ready to move forward with the church, Peter is part of God's plan. Look what Jesus does in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering in the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were scared. Hey, look at what happens. They get to the tomb, to the empty tomb, and they see angels. And you know what the Bible says here? That this angel was in long white garments. He was glowing. He had the Shekinah glory of God on. He was glowing. And look what this angel does. Verse number 6. He saith unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay. But go your way. Tell his disciples and who? And Peter. Tell Peter that he go up before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. And you know the story. Jesus would walk in and manifest himself to the disciples in the room. Now look at me. Why did Jesus say and Peter? Because he wanted Peter to know. You may have sinned against me. You may have failed me, just like I told you. But I'm still your father.
Amen.
And I still got a plan for your life.
Right.
And Peter, you may not feel like one of the disciples anymore, but you need to go to Galilee too. You need to be in that disciple meeting. Because we're getting ready to move this thing forward. Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up, preaches at Pentecost. Acts chapter number 10, you ready for this? Peter opened up a whole new ballgame that Paul would later come on in and carry out, and God would reveal the ministry to the Gentiles from Paul. But Peter was the first one to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And you said, Brother Joel, what is that a beautiful picture of? Hey, even though Peter had failed the Lord, Peter had sinned against God, he was still used to God. God was still using his life. And you said, Brother Tony, you don't know how backslid I've been. You don't know what I did. You don't know what I said. You don't know where I went. My friend, I don't care what you said. I don't care where you went. If you're saved and you know God, he knows all about it. And if it's under the blood, he can still use your life. Somebody say amen tonight. Hallelujah to God. Conclusion. What does all this mean to us tonight? Here they are. And we'll be done. Let me give you these thoughts. As we get ready to close this out, what does this mean to us as a Christian? Number one, understand this tonight. Sin is foreign to a believer and a joy robber in your life. Listen to me tonight. If you're sitting in here as a Christian tonight and you've got sin in your life, understand this. The only time in the Bible where it lays out for us sin in a believer's life, they are miserable. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us parables and said you're more miserable in that state than you were before you ever even got saved. I'm telling you tonight, sir, how long has it been since you had joy in your life? I mean, how long has it been since you woke up and looked in the mirror and said, I'm saved. Amen? I'm not going to hell. I'm a child of God.
Some of you allow the devil to hang over your life where God is. And I'm telling you, it's forgiven, so. And fellowship is restored. This last thing that I'm doing. Christians should resume living for God after their forgiveness. If you've been forgiven,